This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Material is selected with the interest of its audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. I'm Steph Donov, welcoming you to Everyday Health, an Audio Journal program in which we share information about healthy living. This broadcast is for informational purposes only, and suggestions should always be discussed with your healthcare providers. Today we are going to talk about sleep, but we'll start with a topic you don't hear too much about, talking in your sleep, and how little medical science actually knows about it. And since we are going to talk about sleep talkers, we have to offer some advice for the poor people who share a bed or a room with them, the poor sleep listeners. Then we'll look at one of the major causes of poor sleep, stress, and then we'll go back to sleep. I mean talking about it. But first, do you talk in your sleep? Do you sleep with someone who does? And do you ever wish they would just shut up? Well, you are not alone. It seems that most of us talk in our sleeps, either regularly or occasionally. But shutting up is not always that easy, according to the experts at the Cleveland Clinic. Why? Well, it's complicated. Pop culture and common folklore might have you believe that people are more prone to sharing their deepest, darkest secrets when they talk in their sleep. But what's more likely is that people can sometimes act out their dreams depending upon where they are in their sleep cycle. In most cases, talking in your sleep may sound more like unintelligible noises than full conversations or monologues. And though it can be entertaining or irritating for those who hear it, or embarrassing or perplexing for those doing the talking, sleep talking is not likely something they have to be concerned about. But according to behavioral sleep medicine specialist Michelle Drerup, sometimes it can be a sign of more serious sleep disorder or underlying health conditions and can become a real cause for concern. Well, let's start off with a simple definition. What is sleep talking? Sleep talking, also known as somniloquy, is the act of speaking out loud during sleep. And you can do that sleep talking in a number of different ways. You can whisper, you can speak at regular volume, you can say full intelligible sentences and conduct entire conversations, or you can have garbled nonsensical speech mixed with grunts and other noises. You can also sing, shout, and even whistle. No matter which version, chances are you won't know what you're talking about in your sleep, unless you wake yourself up while speaking or someone else informs you of the occurrence later on. Talking in your sleep is a kind of parasomnia, or a disruptive sleep-related disorder that happens while you are sleeping. Unlike other parasomnias, like sleepwalking or sleep-related eating disorder, that can carry significant risk to your health and well-being, sleep talking usually has little to no risk. If anything, your disruptive discussions might wake those around you and make it difficult for others to fall asleep or stay asleep. So why do people talk in their sleep? Sleep is a delicate process that affects our health and well-being in a variety of ways. An average sleep cycle lasts about 90 minutes, and we need 4 or 5 of them each night to feel fully refreshed and rested. In each cycle, our brain moves through 4 stages of sleep, and if our brain is even partially disrupted or distracted during any of those stages, our quality of sleep could be affected. Since most parasomnias are thought to be a mixed state between wakefulness and sleep, sleep talking may be more likely to happen when sleep patterns are disrupted or disturbed. That means anything that's known to disrupt your sleep could be contributing to sleep talking. We're talking about jet lag, sleep deprivation, sleep apnea, anxiety and stress, alcohol or substance abuse. There's some evidence that at times sleep talking may be related to dreams, but this is not always the case. Most dreams happen when we are in a deep, rapid eye movement or REM phase of sleep, but sleep talking can happen during any stage of sleep, including both REM and non-REM sleep. Sleep talking can also be a side effect or symptoms of other parasomnias. With REM sleep behavior disorder, for example, people tend to unknowingly act out their dreams. They are able to speak, shout, punch, thrash, walk, or run with purpose because the part of their brain responsible for paralyzing their muscles during sleep is not functioning as it should. Similarly, people can talk in their sleep when they're sleepwalking and when they're even having night terrors. If your sleep talking occurs suddenly as an adult, or it involves intense fear, screaming, or violent actions, you should see a sleep specialist. A pretty obvious question right now is, can you stop talking in your sleep? As so much involving parasomnias involves sleep disruption, the best thing you can do to stop sleep talking is to focus on improving the quality of your sleep and limiting distractions wherever possible. This is especially important when you consider that those who talk in their sleep have significantly lower sleep quality than those who do not. Over time, as your quality of sleep improves, hopefully your ability to talk in your sleep declines. Focusing on healthy sleep habits and improving your sleep environment may eliminate potential sleep disruptions and improve the quality of your sleep. Building better habits around your sleep can include factors like sticking to a regular sleep schedule, aiming for 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night, giving yourself a half an hour to an hour of quiet, screen-free time to wind down before bed, minimizing and managing your stress levels, limiting alcohol consumption, avoiding caffeine for at least 6 hours before bedtime, exercising regularly, making sure your bedroom is quiet and dark, and keeping the temperature of your bedroom between 60 to 67 degrees. But if the problem continues, when do you need to seek help? If focusing on improving your sleep doesn't reduce the number of times you talk in your sleep, or if you continue to have concerns about any behavior you exhibit while you're sleeping, it might be a good idea to get an overnight sleep study. Doing so will give you and your healthcare providers a lot of information about what's happening with your brain and your body when you doze off. Your doctor may order a sleep study to rule out contributing sleep disorders like sleep apnea or periodic limb movement disorder. During a sleep study, your brain waves, heart rate, and breathing are monitored, as well as arm and leg movements. The sleep study is video recorded, so movements and behavior can be reviewed to observe any unusual or disruptive behaviors. Now, here's a list of other frequently asked questions about sleep talking, and that comes from sleepdoctor.com. Here's a commonly asked question. Does any medication cause you to talk in your sleep? While it is unclear if there are medications that contribute directly to sleep talking, there are several medications that have been linked to unusual sleep behaviors in general. These may include certain antidepressants, sedatives, sleep medications, and drugs that affect the central nervous system. If you notice changes in your sleep behavior after beginning a medication, talk with your healthcare provider before making any changes in your treatment plan. Also, is sleep talking genetic? Sleep talking does appear to have a genetic component and often runs in families. People who have relatives who sleep talk, sleepwalk, or experience other parasomnias may be more likely to develop these behaviors themselves. However, genetics is only one factor, and sleep talking may also be influenced by stress, sleep deprivation, illness, and other environmental factors. Another common question is about depression. Can it cause sleep talking? Depression doesn't directly cause sleep talking, but it may increase the likelihood of sleep disturbances that contribute to episodes of parasomnias. People with depression often experience changes in sleep patterns, insomnia, fragmented sleep, and altered sleep architecture, all of which may be associated with parasomnias like sleep talking. In addition, some medications used to treat depression may contribute to unusual sleep behaviors in certain individuals. How about stress? Does stress cause sleep talking? This is hard to answer because we're not really sure what causes it. However, limited evidence suggests that children who experience stressful situations may talk in their sleep more than others. On the other hand, some experts say that the words verbalized during sleep talking have nothing to do with what's going on in your mind and what happened the day before. That's why almost all scientific research papers say that more research is needed. By the way, researchers say that about 2 out of 3 people talk in their sleep from time to time. That means the odds are you are at least an occasional sleep talker yourself and did not even know it. And that is the reason the person you sleep with or near at some point in their lives wished that you would just shut up and let them sleep. So far, we have talked only about the poor sleep talker. What about the one who really suffers, the sleep listener? If you sleep with or even near a sleep talker, sleepdoctor.com has 4 things you can consider doing to get a good night's sleep for yourself. 1. Wear earplugs. Try blocking out the sound with earplugs or noise-canceling headphones. 2. Drown out the sound. Consider using a white noise machine to cover up the sound of your partner's sleep talk. You can opt for a traditional white noise machine or a more advanced device like the Hatch Restore 3 that plays white noise and doubles as a smart sunrise alarm. Playing music, running a fan, or utilizing another form of background noise can also be effective. 3. Keep communication open. If your bed partner's sleep talk is frequent, loud, or particularly disruptive, you may want to suggest that they consult with a sleep specialist. A sleep specialist can determine if the vocalizations are normal or a sign of a larger problem. And 4, try sleeping separately. If all else fails, try sleeping in separate rooms. This could help both you and your partner get better rest with fewer interruptions. But don't forget, close to 70% of all people talk in their sleep occasionally. That means that your sleep talker can also be your sleep listener, too. Everybody feels stressed sometimes. We can get stressed at work, at home, or even while walking down the street. Now, a small amount of stress can actually be helpful. It can push us to meet a deadline or study hard for a test. But too much stress over a long period of time can harm our health. Serious health problems such as high blood pressure, heart disease, obesity, and diabetes can even be caused or made worse by stress. Some researchers also believe that stress may increase the risk of cancer. So let's look at how stress affects the body. When you feel stressed, your body releases 2 hormones called adrenaline and cortisol. These hormones are part of the body's fight or flight response, which prepares your body to handle danger. The changes due to the release of these hormones can include making your heart beat faster, increasing your rate of breathing, and changing how your stomach digests food. Long ago, these responses to stress helped us survive danger, such as running away from a dangerous wild animal. However, stress that occurs too often can harm your overall health. So let's look at some healthy ways to manage stress, thanks to the Reliant Medical Center newsletter. The good news is that there are effective ways to lower stress and protect your health. Exercise is a great way to reduce stress. It can actually reduce the levels of stress hormones in your body. Walking, running, playing sports, or climbing are all helpful. Staying active every day also improves your overall health. So try to get as much exercise as you can. Then there's meditation and guided imagery. Meditation helps your body relax and calm down. It can improve your mood and lower your blood pressure. Guided imagery is a type of meditation where you imagine a peaceful place like a beach or a quiet forest to calm down. Many people use phone apps, audio recordings, or take classes to help them learn meditation. Then there's music. Listening to music can help lower your heart rate, blood pressure, and overall anxiety. Sounds of nature, like birds or ocean waves, can also be relaxing. Try setting aside some time each day to listen to the sounds and music that you enjoy. And if you have a pet, spend time with it. Playing with your pet or taking your dog for a walk are known to reduce stress. Pets can help you feel calm and happy. Spending even a little time with a pet can make a big difference in your day. And if you don't have a pet already, you might consider adopting one. Then there is social support. Friends and family can help protect you from stress. Talking with someone you trust can help you feel supported. And try not to pull away from others when you feel stressed. Just a good conversation with the stress can be very beneficial. And if stress feels too hard to manage, talk with your primary care provider. They can help you find ways to feel better and be healthier. Managing stress takes time, but small steps can lead to big differences. So, give it a try. Most of the advice we get about improving our sleep focuses on what to do shortly before you go to bed. Turn down the lights, stop scrolling, turn off the TV set, keep your bedroom cool, close your curtains, and so on. All stuff that we have all heard before and before and before that. But many of the choices we make in the morning and during daylight hours are just as important for sleep as those we make at night. New York Times' Amanda Shupak has 6 daytime tips to help you sleep better at nighttime. 1. Soak in the morning sun. Getting sun exposure within 1 hour of waking up can have a powerful effect on your sleep later that night. The light suppresses hormones that make you sleepy and shift your body time into wake-up mode, setting you up to be tired again by bedtime. Ideally, we'd all get out for the sun for an hour every morning, but that's not always possible. You just might have to get creative. So open the blinds, have your coffee on the porch, do your work near the window. 10 minutes is better than 0 minutes, even on a cloudy day. You can also supplement a lack of sunshine by sitting in front of a bright light box or a sad lamp for about 30 minutes shortly after you wake up. A sad lamp is a light for people with seasonal affective disorder and gives you many of the same benefits that you get from being out in the sunlight. Even turning on all the lights in your home can be useful. 2, keep mealtimes consistent and later meals lighter. Some research suggests that people who regularly eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at around the same time each day tend to sleep better than those who do not. The body runs on an internal 24-hour clock called the circadian rhythm. This regulates when you feel sleepy and alert. Your gut plays a role in the system, and it takes cues from when, not just what, you eat. So if you eat at inconsistent times, it can throw your circadian rhythm out of whack. It also may be beneficial to eat heavier meals earlier in the day, since a big dinner too close to bedtime can cause digestive issues, like acid reflux, which may disrupt your sleep. And if you do need a late-night snack, try to keep it small and low in fat and added sugars. Number 3. Reassess your relationship with caffeine. Most of us have heard the rule, no caffeine after 2 p.m. unless you want to have trouble falling asleep. But in certain cases, the clock might start even earlier. Some people metabolize or break down caffeine more slowly than others. This gives them a caffeine burst of energy far longer. The caffeine from a morning coffee run, for instance, might linger in somebody's body for over 12 hours, causing them to have trouble sleeping later that night. People who metabolize caffeine more quickly, on the other hand, might be able to drink an espresso after dinner without concern. To determine if your caffeine habits are affecting your sleep, try weaning yourself off caffeine for 2 weeks and see if it improves your sleep. This includes caffeinated sodas, teas, and certain desserts like chocolate and coffee ice cream. Number 4. Take sleep-affecting medications earlier. Some drugs have stimulating effects that may make it harder to fall or stay asleep, especially if taken too close to bedtime. These include decongestants, certain ADHD and asthma medications, antidepressants like Prozac and Wellbutrin, and oral steroids like prednisone. If you're having sleep issues, ask your doctor if you should take medication earlier in the day, or if you should lower your dose or switch to a new medication completely. Number 5. Wake up at the same time every day. Resisting the urge to fiddle with your alarm, even on weekends, is one of the best things you can do for your sleep. Waking up earlier one day and later the next throws off your circadian rhythm, which can interfere with your sleep schedule for days. It is important to get up at the same time every day, but it doesn't have to be the exact same time. Staying within 30 minutes of your regular wake-up time either way probably will not affect your sleep quality. And here's number 6, the last tip. Experiment with your workout schedule. Many know that getting adequate exercise, and by this we mean at least 150 minutes per week of moderate aerobic activity, is associated with better sleep. For some people, though, working out within a few hours of bedtime makes sleeping harder. The connection between late workouts and poor sleep isn't entirely clear, but exercise, particularly if it is strenuous, raises your body temperature and temporarily elevates endorphins and stress hormones, which can disrupt your sleep. If you're able to work out in the evening without any issues, don't change a thing. But if it causes you to feel jazzed and pumped up in a way that makes sleeping hard, try shifting to a morning exercise routine and see if it helps. And as a bonus, do your morning exercises outside if you can and reap the benefit of the sun. Thank you for joining us today for Everyday Health. Our broadcast is for informational purposes only, and as I said at the start of the show, I am not a health professional. So please remember that you should always talk to your own healthcare providers when considering either starting or stopping doing something that could impact on your health or healthy living. This program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Thank you again for listening, and we wish you health every day. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of the program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Steph Donoff. Thanks for listening, and be good to yourself.
And now, Medical Myths and Facts with Dr. Richard Curtis.
If I asked you to name the single most important thing you can do to protect your health, many people would say eating better, exercising, or taking vitamins. Those are all helpful, but perhaps the most important step is simply knowing a few key facts about your own health. Today, I'd like to share 7 things every adult should know. First, know your numbers. These include your blood pressure, cholesterol, blood sugar, weight, and waist size. High blood pressure is called the silent killer because it often causes no symptoms until it leads to a heart attack, stroke, or kidney disease. The same is true for diabetes and high cholesterol. Knowing these numbers can give you the opportunity to correct problems before they become life-threatening. Second, don't skip preventive screening. Colon cancer, breast cancer, cervical cancer, and lung cancer can often be detected early, sometimes before symptoms ever develop. Early detection dramatically improves survival. Screening isn't about finding disease, it's about preventing it from becoming serious. Third, stay current on vaccinations. Vaccines aren't just for children. Influenza, COVID, shingles, pneumonia, and RSV vaccines have all been shown to reduce hospitalizations and save lives, particularly in older adults. Fourth, know the warning signs that should never be ignored. Chest pain, sudden weakness, or difficulty speaking, blood in the stool, unexplained weight loss, or persistent shortness of breath all deserve prompt medical attention. Don't wait to see if it goes away. Fifth, remember that lifestyle still matters more than almost anything else. Regular exercise, a healthy diet, good sleep, not smoking, limiting alcohol, and maintaining social connections remain some of the strongest predictors of living a longer and healthier life. New medications can help, but they don't replace healthy habits. Sixth, don't overlook your mental health. Chronic stress, depression, loneliness, and anxiety don't just affect mood. They increase the risk of heart disease, dementia, and many chronic illnesses. Taking care of emotional health is part of taking care of physical health. Finally, build a relationship with a primary care clinician. Even in an era of online medical information and wearable devices, nothing replaces a trusted healthcare professional, of course, if you can find one, who knows your history and can help you make informed decisions. The good news is that many of the diseases we fear most are either preventable or highly treatable when caught early. Good health isn't about perfection. It's about staying informed, paying attention to your body, and taking action before small problems become large ones. If you remember only one thing today, let it be this: know your numbers, keep up with preventive care, and never ignore symptoms that your body is trying to tell you about. Those simple steps can add not only years to your life, but life to your years. Thank you.
Interested in taking the bus but aren't sure how? Let the Worcester Regional Transit Authority make it easier for you. The WRTA Travel Training Program is designed to help people who would like to use the regular WRTA fixed route bus service but aren't sure where to begin. You can receive instruction on a one-on-one basis, or you may bring a friend or relative and do it together. You decide. You will learn how to read a schedule, understand transit terminology, pay your fare, where to purchase tickets, what to do in case of an emergency, and all things having to do with learning to use public transit. If there is a particular route or routes that you would like to use, the travel trainer will tailor the training to meet your needs. Travel training is free of charge, and while you are with the travel trainer, your trips are free as well. Please call 508-453-3460 to set up an appointment today.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Barney Dribble is carrying a pillowcase full of feathers. Hardy Pyle is carrying three pillowcases the same size as Barney's, yet Hardy's load is lighter. How can this be?
And here's the solution to our mystery.
Hardy's pillowcases are empty.
And now back to our regular programming.